this is what you're fighting for. I mean, every day you're out there.
What they're doing is blowing people off.
If you continue to look the other way and shut up, then the oppressors, the authoritarians, get total control and total power. Because this is just like in Arizona. This is just like in Georgia. It's another element that backs them into a corner and shows their lies and misrepresentations.
This is why this audience is going to have to get engaged. As we've told you, this is the fight.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room, Battleground. Here's your host, Stephen K. Bannon.
It's Monday, 11 March, year of our Lord, 2024. As you remember from the last hour, it is the four-year anniversary of the declaration of what the Chinese Communist Party hits with a bioweapon, being a pandemic, of course, of your longtime War Room aficionado. You know, we did that back on January 15th, so we beat them by, what, 90 days, 60 days? All those days counted. We knew that Wuhan had hit us with a bioweapon. Right on all that from the beginning. We started, so it's 2:38 and a wake up. We started the show this morning with Raheem. Raheem found this buried lead in a report of the Democrats of little Jamie Raskin, saying that, yeah, they might have won at the court, Supreme Court level 9-0 about Trump on ballots, but it doesn't mean they have to certify it. And they said that they're not going to certify on January 6th. They're not going to certify Trump's election. They think he's an insurrectionist and unable, therefore, to hold office. Even they don't care what the Supreme Court says, because they're saying the Supreme Court didn't address that. Raheem then had Rasmussen polled, and this morning we found out that 57% of Democrats, and I don't know, 33% of independents or 35% of independents that lean moderate support, but particularly 57% when it's worded that if Trump won, not if Trump cheated, not if there was some controversy, not if Trump had election interference, if Trump won, would they support the Democrats in the House of Representatives not certifying the 2020 or the 2024 election? The answer is yes, 57% of Democrats. So therefore, as we have said, this is not normal times. It's not like the House election is important to make sure that you have a group there to support President Trump and he can work with the House, the Republican held. Now it's a matter of electoral life or death. We've asked Alex DeGrasse to join us. All these controversies now about these amendments about illegal aliens and immigrants being counted in districts, and you're the guy. This is all about these redistricting fights, and they're still up there. So the battle map is being laid out, but now it's raised to a higher level of importance because we have to take the House with taking the presidency of President Trump. Otherwise, we're going to be in a not just where they block him on legislation. Now they're saying it out loud. This is not War Room. They said it. When they lost 9-0 Supreme Court, Alex, they said, well, the Supreme Court talking about being on ballot access. They didn't talk about him actually serving, and we think he's ineligible to serve, and we're going to not certify the election. And 57% of Democratic voters support that. Alex DeGrasse, where are we in this fog of war?
So a lot of the redistricting stuff that we've been speaking about this cycle are sort of wrapping up, and it's been a pretty big victory. We spoke about it. So if we want to talk about some top lines, we want to zoom out, okay? There are 211 seats that voted for President Trump in the House. That's two more. It's a net gain of two more than last election during the midterms in 2020. So right off the bat, we're net two, which is not spoken about in the media, despite all of those sort of horror stories when I started getting back on the show and we were looking earlier in the year. Hey, you know, they're looking in the South, they're looking here, there. So that's where we're at right now, net two. And we can go down the states here if I want to start.
Hang on. I want to make sure people got that. Congressional districts. It started 209. We've netted up two. How do we net those two?
It's not North Carolina. So that's where we picked up the three, maybe four. Right. And these are seats like President Trump carried. I mean, we feel great about seats President Trump did not apparently carry last election. But if we just look at the numbers, we're plus two. That's essentially plus three. And then losing one Alabama. So pretty good. It's great.
So that comes to what number? What number does that come to in your calculation? Baseline, the baseline we've got right now and starting this is what?
So it's 211 seats that were carried by Donald Trump. That's more than two more than 2022. And there's 222 seats that voted to the right of President Trump's vote share. So that down ballot, right? An increase of one seat. So the median district marginally shifted towards Republicans. Young Kim is now the median, which is Trump minus 1.9. And it used to be Kilmeade in Michigan, Trump down 2%. So that's great. That's huge, huge victory. And yeah, we pulled an article here. This is about all you see. We had, you know, sort of a great combination of a couple fronts, New York, Wisconsin, some good primary victories that keep us competitive in some of these seats. So the House, if you read that playbook article, they say, oh, there's these Republicans and Democrats. The House is really one of the big games in town because the media, Wall Street, they're all pumping this as their best shot to sort of put a check on President Trump, impeach, and halt the MAGA agenda. So it's really a knife fight in every district. It's important that the posse understand that obviously getting President Trump in there is the top priority, but this is right
up next. But hang on. They're saying something even different now. They're saying that on January 6th, they're not going to certify. And remember, the question Rasmussen asked, Alex, wasn't if President Trump cheated, if there was questions about, you know, legitimacy. They're saying if Trump won, would you support your congressman voting against certifying his election? 57% of Democrats that intend to vote said they will. So that not only do they have the ability to say, hey, we can stop his agenda, we can impeach him, which they'll do immediately, but they're saying now it could be, so it could be the full gamut. My point is, this is the single most important House election, I think, in the history of the country. I think you can make that argument, that this is even more important than some of the House elections before the Civil War, because they are in your face telling you what they intend to do with the House. Am I too far off base on that assessment?
No, Steve, as we've spoken about, of course, if there's an issue, God forbid, in this election regarding the legitimacy of the election and any issues with ballot, you know, integrity and election security, the way the framers set up our government and constitution, this will get decided in the House. And so that is something that people say, and of course I understand that we should have looked at that on January 6th. And that was sort of, there's a precedent for that, of course, and we could talk about how that works, but the House is the key, and you're not wrong. You're exactly right. Of course, Steve, and the stakes are so high when you look at the map. If we hold the House, not just hold, but we frankly need to expand the House majority to give ourselves a little bit of buffer with our on our side of things. So the stakes, I mean, it's important for everyone to get involved on this effort.
But I just want to make sure also something, because if you read Politico, if you hear Mark Elias, you think we've just been getting beaten at every turn. When you're saying right now, they're 211 of Trump districts, okay, locked in. But you're even saying right now, your math takes you above the 218 we need, that you think right now in a safety margin. I don't want people to get complacent. You can't. It's all going to be a knife fight. But it's about 222 right now?
Yeah, it's 222 seats voted to the right of President Trump's vote share. So that's huge. I mean, we feel great. I mean, this is like a 50-50. I think we're in a good position. I feel confident that we will expand. You know, we're taking a little bit of a different approach, and this is sort of public, so I feel comfortable saying this for all the liberal media watching. You know, we're very more focused. You know, last cycle we had a deep map. I think that was the right play. We forced them to spread out. They certainly did a little better than some people had thought in some areas. These races were very, very close. A lot of these seats decided 1%, 0.5%, 2%, then sort of went against us. But we're very focused on a very tight map, 25 seats. Really going to be hammered like you have no idea. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out. So a little bit of a different approach, a lot more focus on the candidate hard dollar side of things. So making sure our candidates have the direct funding to get those cheaper TV rates that we used to speak about last election on the show, if you guys all remember. But that's been a focus, sort of propping them up with grassroots dollars and building those types of processes to catch up to the Democrats. So all of that's going great. Of course, it's pedal to the metal as we gear up and through the summer, getting into the spring for these seats. But we'll talk as we go more, as we shift away from redistricting, see we can go down the punch list, sort of what are the top seats. obviously focusing on ones that President Trump, I spoke at the Force Multiplier event. We kind of went through the punch list there, but we could talk about that again. But if you want me to run through some of these states, Steve, I'm happy for an update.
Run through some of these states. Run through the states of how we stand, because people are in the impression that, oh my gosh, you know, we had Mark Elias there and these things all got turned over in Alabama. Run through the states, and then I want to ask you specifically. Politico had a story this morning that say even the pickups that could change the balance are going to be basically concentrated in two blue states, California and your beloved New York. And that's where the fight's going to be. So why don't you walk through the states, then we can finish with California and New York.
Yeah, so Arkansas, the 8th Court of Appeals said they won't reconsider a ruling that ruled in our favor. The plaintiffs have not yet gone public if they're going to go to the Supreme Court on that. So that's something that's on the table. Florida Supreme Court will hear an appeal this fall, but it's too late to do anything for this election. And we feel good about that. Louisiana, they did enact that new map in January, which has two majority black seats. There was a lawsuit filed alleging constitution violations, and we could see a trial set for April 8th or 9th, I believe is the current plan. Michigan, they filled the vacancies. They were ordered to enact a new House map. We appealed this loss, and they approved a new South map. So that's done, and that's fine. Missouri, they upheld lines for state Senate, which they were going to use as an opening to crack that open. New York is the big one, and we'll talk to it briefly, but we'll get back to it. But they got the maps that we needed. We sort of bled a little bit, you know, 2-3 percentage points in one or two seats. But the game here is that every seat's still in play that we originally both hold and are targeting when we were talking about losing a net negative of 3-4. So massive disaster for Mark Elias. So all of that work, all of that lawsuit that they took to the Court of Appeals essentially accounts for a 3% margin in two seats, whereas we think we're still going to carry the day on. North Carolina, they're trying to make some challenges, but that should be airtight and done. North Dakota, there was a federal judge ruled, but we've got sort of a case countering that as well regarding the two American tribes. But for the court's map is going to be used for this election, so that could be something down the line. And Wisconsin is the other biggest development in the last 2 weeks, despite Mark Elias, you know, saying a bunch of crazy things on Twitter, and they opened up the down ballot maps. They ruled that the congressional maps are here to stay, and then that's shut and done. So the two sort of hitch points we had in the last month was Wisconsin, New York, where we could have seen a net loss of 4 seats, and we see 0 seats lost. So that's massive.
That's massive. That's massive. Warren Posse. Also, the lesson we should take here is state court elections are super important. So always work with your local party, your local districts. These elections, I cannot emphasize how important these things are. And this is how we're saving this republic. I want to go to the Politico story. They said the action of this thing, of the 25, they said it's going to come down. They say it's going to come down to California and New York for the control of the House on a couple of seats that are potentially flipping. And they think because these are blue states, they'll have a lot of muscle to put to work here. Your thoughts on that?
Yeah, that's correct. And I think New York is tough. I mean, you have these 11 seats that we hold currently, which is a lot of Republicans when you think about it. I think we're the fourth largest delegation or third largest state delegation for the House Republican Conference, New York State. And we think we can get 12. So that's big. So we're targeting the Hudson Valley. Of those 11, maybe let's call 6 or 7 of them are really tough seats. Many of those were kind of leaning in our favor. So right there, New York could decide it all. They proved in this special election that the Dems have a lot of muscle, a lot of union money in New York, a lot of special interest money. Soros, Hakeem Jeffries is personally involved, personally handpicking staff at the local level, and they built what they call Battleground New York, and they've got a massive infrastructure. Our side of things, Politico had reported early on that we've got a guerrilla war strategy here in New York, and we're doing the best that we can trying to keep up with their money. We do feel good on the issue set, certainly on the illegal immigration crisis, which is a disaster, of course, cost of living and everything else sort of amplified in these blue states. California, all the same stuff. Our big issue is election integrity in New York, and that's something.
Can we try to get him on frozen? Let's go back and try to reboot that. I'll continue on with Jim Hoff till we get Alex, because I got to get to the punchline there. One thing to remember: Boss Tish James. Tish James takes over the essential election, the election takes over the election. Are we going out? Okay. Tish James takes over, I think, September 20th. And I want to get DeGrasse back up here to answer that. It's been a great presentation. Let's shift to Georgia while we get Alex rebooted. Jim Hoft, your story today in Gateway Pundit, very disturbing. So walk me through. Take us from the top and walk us through all the details in this, because this deals with both Fannie Willis, Raffensperger, I think even the White House, everybody's attached here. So walk us through it.
Right, Steve. Good morning. This is a collection of posts that we put up previously. But what it is, you know, back on January 2nd, 2021, there was a call President Trump made to Brad Raffensperger and his staff in Georgia. And Trump was asking about the election results and how to find more ballots in Georgia. He was not pressuring them. This call was illegally, we now know, illegally recorded by Jordan Fuchs, who is the Deputy Secretary of State in Georgia. She was, we say this is illegally recorded because she was in Florida at the time. Florida is a two-party consent state, and so she would have had to announce that she was recording the call, and she would have to have the approval of President Trump and his staff to record this. So she recorded this call on the 2nd. On the 3rd of January, 2021, this call got leaked to the Washington Post. But what we later found out was that this was they altered the transcript on this call, and they leaked this to the Washington Post, making it sound like Trump was bullying the Georgia Secretary of State officials and his office to get more votes. This was not the case. What happened next was the media all ran with this story about Trump is threatening Georgia. Later on, 2 months later, we find out that there was an investigation, and they found that this Jordan Fuchs had recorded this call, and then she deleted it. They found the actual call in her trash folder. So she took the evidence, she deleted this. It was recovered by investigators, and they also found that she had altered the contents of this call and sent it to the Washington Post. The Washington Post then had to make a correction, but this, of course, was months later after the impeachment trial of Donald Trump, and this, of course, was brought up during the impeachment trial. So now we know also, on top of that, Steve, the fact that Raffensperger was telling Donald Trump that he couldn't find any fraud, that everything was legit in Georgia, and yet Katherine Engelbrecht had spoken to him in December, and she had an affidavit, a legal affidavit that she filled out that said that 67,000 ballots were in question. There was also another auditor, Brian Giles, who found 100,000 ballots that were in question. So there was enough evidence there for Raffensperger to look at this. He chose not to, and he lied to the president, saying that everything was kosher in Georgia. And then now we find out that they had recorded this call without Trump knowing. They leaked it to the Washington Post, and all the leftist media ran with it. They altered the content of the call. And so this is just another scandal, another lie that was perpetrated by the media against Trump, and involves Brad Raffensperger. And why this is important is because Fannie Willis used this call to open this investigation on Trump in her fraudulent RICO charges against Donald Trump. So it's just deceit and fraud on top of deceit and fraud in Georgia. And that's what we're finding right now.
Jim, hang on for 1 second, because this thing is so over the top, and how we're just finding about it now. So just put a pin in it, because I got DeGrasse and he's got a punch. Alex, quickly, it's going to come down New York in California. I just want people to be focused. You've already said, hey, this is a lot tighter than we talked about in 22. The two sides have kind of been defined. Don't let Mark Elias rattle you. It's a lot of happy talk. When you look at this, we turned out kind of okay. You guys are very confident we can hold the 218, right? And may even pick up some from that. but that this will still come down to California and New York, which the Democrats and allies are saying, hey, you're playing an away game on the two toughest opposition fields you could play on in California and New York. So just walk us through. Give me a summary of your thoughts on those two.
Well, the key, Steve, is that's where we fired Nancy Pelosi in California alone, as we picked up enough seats over the last two election cycles. So we've done great in the blue states. It's because the positive thing about blue states for us is not only do you have to deal with Joe Biden's massive disasters, but also the compounding issues of Democrat failed leadership at the state and local level. So it is going to be a knife fight on the money front. We've got the candidates. We feel great about New York and California. We're certainly on offense in both of those seats, but there are a lot of defensive seats. And so, you know, the tough thing is in these presidential years, the focus is on sort of the battleground states, and we need the posse to lock in. New York, California, they're right up there with Pennsylvania, Ohio, and the rest of them.
I just want to make sure I get to the Warren Posse, your warning. And it's not to scare anybody, but we got to be realistic about this. On September 20, and this is the way they play. The one thing I admire about the Democrats, it's all smash mouth, right? They don't take any prisoners. They are ruthless. On September 20th, what happens in the great state of New York?
Yeah, so they've restructured the election process in New York State. It's something that we've been certainly challenging and fighting. We're looking for every opportunity. We've got a current appeal, certainly on the mail ballot front, which is a big part of what you're talking about, how they have the unregulated mass mail ballots for no excuse, sort of any reason. You can just get a ballot sent to your house through an online portal. And that really is the death of New York State and certainly the Republic if we allow that type of election system to be put in place. In addition, they've swapped out the paper ballots, Steve, in New York. They're moving to a sort of touchpad system, which you know, you're not able to really go back and audit. I know the show has really focused on sort of the vulnerabilities and all of that stuff. And it's all happening in New York at a very rapid pace, including us unable to challenge election issues outside of four jurisdictions in New York. So just think about that. If we have an issue in a Republican area in New York State, at least part of Elise's rural district, Washington County, where we did have an issue, Steve, in 2022, but machines went down, Democrats were transporting ballots around, we blew this thing up, it was all over the news. Again, small marginal in an area that Elise wins by, let's call it 30 percentage points. But if there was games there, we were able to go to the local court, go to the system, shut it all down, impound the ballots and handle that. They just changed the rules in New York where now if you have any election issues, Steve, you have to go to Albany, Buffalo, or New York City, essentially. That's it. So we have an issue 2 hours away. We need to go to a Democrat jurisdiction to challenge it. So we're looking at the constitutionality of that, and we're being told somehow they can get away with it. But that's the problem is we need lawyers. We need tough people to go on offense because this stuff is catastrophic.
I want to talk about the special election because here's why. New York Times and NBC just last week had huge articles about how the Asian American population is coming to MAGA. I think it's gone from 18% all the way up to maybe 28 to 32%. A big part of that's the Chinese American community, the Lao Beijing here in America, that are anti-CCP. And a lot of that's concentrating in Queens. But even in Queens, talk about the union muscle, how they, regardless of how weak the candidate was that they ran, they selected to run. This thing was worked in. They knew coming out, I think, Queens and parts of Brooklyn where the unions control it, and they had the ballot harvesting off the, wait for it, mail-in ballots. This thing was over before it started, was it not, sir?
Yeah, I think that's exactly right. Queens, the Asian American community, certainly we've seen trends positively. They love you, Steve, and we've spent a lot of time with them, and they love talking about the war room, all of the Chinese Americans that hate the CCP here in America, in New York specifically. They've got a big base of support, and we need to grow that. I think exactly. The mail ballot harvesting in Queens, it was too much to even break through, even if we had moved the numbers stronger in other areas in the special. So, and again, that was the first time they were able to operate off this new mail-in ballot system. It was like a test run, you can say. So it's a big problem that people need to lock in on.
Alex, where do people go to keep up with all of this? You've done a great job over the last year to keep us, and obviously before 22, but over this year to keep us up to date. And I guess your watchword is we got a lot of work to do. We got to put our shoulder to the wheel here, but don't let Mark Elias, a lot of that is information warfare to depress people, et cetera. But we got a great chance of holding the House and maybe even picking things up if people do their jobs, right? If people get focused and do their jobs, we're in the fight on this thing. So where do people go to keep up with you, and where they go to find out more about Team Elise?
DeGrasse81 on social media. I'm at DeGrasse on Truth. You can go to elisestefanik.com or House GOP Battleground Fund. We've got the punch list there. We're going to update some information for people as sort of the seats come online and we finish the targeting list so that the posse can really lock in on the core seats. So thank you, Steve.
Don't tell me DeGrasse81 stands for the year you were born.
That was my football number in high school. It's brutal.
Okay, fine. Good. High school memories. DeGrasse, thank you so much, man. Appreciate it.
That's it. Great Thanks, job. Steve.
The House fight is going to be as important as the presidency, and we told you why, because the Democrats are already signaling. I mean, they're saying the quiet part out loud. They're not going to seat him. Look, this is going to be as tough a fight as you've ever seen in your life. But they're saying right now, hey, you may have wanted the Supreme Court 9-0, including their justices, the liberal progressive judges. But they said that doesn't matter. So he's on the ballot. We're not going to certify it. And Rasmussen poll backs up that they got backing by their crew, by their voters. So this is going to be a tough one. This House seat is going to be inextricably linked with the presidency, with the president's race. Also, you know, just like I told you guys in 18, that as soon as Pelosi won, she was going to impeach the president. She was going to start working to do that. Okay, birchgold.com/Bannon. I think today you've seen, although we're fighting and we're winning on many fronts, it's a time of turbulence. It's only going to get worse, particularly when you think about the solutions you have to implement. Remember, all the easy choices are behind us. As far as action has to be taken to save this republic, go to birchgold.com/Bannon today. Find out about the end of the dollar empire. Talk to Philip Patrick and the team about why gold and precious metals are a hedge for 6,000, 8,000 years against times of turbulence. Check it out. Short commercial break. Back with Hoff. We're going. For 10 years, Patriot Mobile has been America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. We need to stand together and support companies that share our values. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you the ability to access all three major networks, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to, but without funding the left. If you're sick and tired of the globalist leftist takeover of America's corporations, go to patriotmobile.com/BannonTV. That's patriotmobile.com/BannonTV and support a company that actually believes in America. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you're sending the message that you support free speech, religious freedom, the sanctity of life, Second Amendment, and our military veterans and first responder heroes. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching incredibly easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/BannonTV or call 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT and get free activation today with the offer code Bannon. Patriotmobile.com/BannonTV or call 972-PATRIOT. Remember, take action, use your agency, action, action, action. True or false? Using your tax refund to pay off credit card debt is a smart thing. Actually, that's false. DoneWithDebt.com published a brilliant strategy designed to let you keep your hard-earned tax refund and reduce or eliminate credit card debt. Most Americans owe thousands in credit card debt. In fact, Daily Mail's got a story that 56 million Americans carry credit card debt, and that debt will take years to pay off, if you pay it off at all. DoneWithDebt found that filing bankruptcy is usually not the answer. And taking out loans to pay off credit cards usually increases the debt. When you engage Done with Debt, their legal experts and skilled negotiators take on the credit card companies for you. Their winning strategies are designed with one goal: solve your debt situation quickly and permanently. First things first, chat with a Done with Debt strategist and explore your solutions. Some debt fighting strategies are time sensitive, so you'll need to move quickly. For a free consultation, visit donewithdebt.com. That's donewithdebt.com. Do it today. Take action. For War Room veterans, you know we have been all over this supply chain issue with China and medications. and the active pharmaceutical ingredients. China has a stranglehold on us where there's a way to break that. Jace Medical. I got an emergency medication kit from them. The FDA just declared a global shortage of medication and warned that critical antibiotics are in extreme short supply across the United States. But you know that because you're a viewer or listener of the show. Now, here's the action you can take to correct. Do yourself and your family a favor and get your Jace case right now. It's a pack of five prescription antibiotics you'll have on hand for common emergencies. Just visit jacemedical.com. That's Jace, J-A-S-E, jacemedical.com. Take a few minutes and fill out the form. Your information will be reviewed by a board-certified physician, and your medication will be dispensed by a licensed pharmacy at a fraction of the regular cost. You'll be glad you have the Jace case. Go to Jace Medical, that's one word, J-A-S-E, medical.com, and enter code Bannon at checkout for a discount on your order. That's promo code Bannon at Jace, J-A-S-E, medical.com. You know what the problem is because you've watched the show. You can take action and break that problem by going to Jace Medical and get your Jace case today. Action, action, action.
All this nonsense, all this spin, they can't handle the truth.
War Room Battleground with Stephen K. Bannon.
Okay, I appreciate Jim Hoff sitting here. We had to bifurcate that, but DeGrasse is this is setting with 2:38 in a wake up. This is setting kind of the battlefield that we have. So Hoff, let me. I just want to go hit rewind for a second. Here's what I don't understand. What you're reporting is so mind blowing on so many different levels. Why is this just coming out? Why is this information coming out on the 11th of March in the year of our Lord 2024, when we are 238 days in a wake up around away from the 2024 election? What is it? Why is it technically we are just finding out about this now and you're able to pull the pieces together, sir?
Well, Steve, we originally reported on the fact that Jordan Fuchs was in Florida when she recorded this call with Raffensperger and President Trump and his team. We reported that a year ago, and we got that from Garland Favorito, our friend, who had released that information. Now, what happened since then is that Isikoff, the famous reporter behind a lot of the Trump Russia collusion hoax, he was instrumental in that propaganda for the
left. That's Michael Isikoff, who is a guy I think also was tied up in the Monica Lewinsky. I mean, he's been an investigative reporter for years, a left winger. He's gotten more and more radical. Trump has triggered this guy beyond belief. I mean, he's the original charter member of Trump derangement syndrome. So how does Michael Isikoff figure in?
So he comes out with a new book that's been published recently. And he says the same thing that we reported last year, that Fuchs was in Florida and that this was likely, she did this. You can't do that, Steve. You can't record somebody in Florida. You know all these laws because as a reporter, you have to know which states have what laws. And if you have a two-party state, that means that you have to have the consent of the other person you're talking to before you record the call. She obviously didn't have the consent. And, Steve, what is amazing is she released this the next day. It's in the Washington Post. So they took the call, they rewrote it, they altered it, the contents, to make Trump sound really bad. I mean, this is Brad Raffensperger, who's supposedly a Republican, right? Yet fought Trump and still to this day fights Trump every chance he can. So it was his group who altered
slow down for a second. When he say he ordered and they altered it, I want to be specific here so the audience gets. What did they specifically change? And did Raffensperger order those changes? Or he just ordered general changes to be altered.
Right. Well, what we know for sure is that the contents of that transcription that was turned over to the Washington Post was fraudulent, because we found out later, as I had mentioned earlier, they found the actual audio. Then Fuchs had deleted it off her computer, but investigators found the audio and then realized not only did she destroy this evidence, but she also, when they wrote the transcription, sent it to the Washington Post, they altered the contents of the call. What they wanted people to believe was that Trump was telling them to find the fraud and you'll be a hero if you find this, and also something like alter the vote totals. Trump, so they used little tricks to make it sound like Trump was forcing them to do something illegal, force them to do something. And when the transcript came out, Washington Post had to make a correction when the audio actually came out and say that Trump did not say these things. He wasn't pressuring them like they made it sound. Now, all the rest of the media ran with this, of course. It was a huge hit on Trump. And yet later we find out in this same call, Raffensperger said, oh, everything was fine during the election. We didn't find anything. And yet a month before, Catherine Engelbrecht, our friend from True the Vote, she had a meeting with Raffensperger, and she pointed out 67,000 votes that she believed were very suspect. They were from, either dead voters or from addresses where there should not be voters. She had told Raffensperger about that in a signed affidavit a month before. So Raffensperger knew that there was issues with this election. There was also an auditor who was hired. His name is Brian Giles, and he found 100,000 ballots that he thought were very suspect and should have been looked at. So this is what Trump was asking them to do. Look at these ballots, see if they should have been counted or not. And yet, instead of Raffensperger taking the advice and looking at these ballots that were suspect, instead he pushed this fraudulent phone call transcript to the Washington Post. And so there you have it. And Fannie Willis, as you know, used this phone call to start her investigation against Trump in her bogus RICO charges.
Where do we start? I mean, it's maddening that this guy ran for re-election and they suppressed all this information until after his re-election. And he's the guy that's down there and going to oversee it for this. I mean, it's just absolutely maddening. Where does this go from here? I mean, you guys have done an amazing job pulling together. Some other people on top of it, too. But I mean, you know, we're 238 days in a wake up from, you know, a election. And I don't want to say it's the most important, but it's clearly going to have a massive impact on the direction of this republic. We're either going to take back this constitutional republic or we're going to lose it. That's the stakes in this election. So all this is amazing. It blows people away. But what is going to actually happen with the evidence that you have?
Well, obviously, Steve, some good men and women need to stand up and use this information and press charges, press for an investigation. The people of Georgia have to do something with this information. It's out there now. It's not just Gateway Pundit, as you say, Steve. It's not just Gateway Pundit who's saying this now, but it's also Isikoff and in his new book that he's admitting the same thing. So something should be done. There needs to be investigations. We need strong men and women to stand up now, as you said, Steve, and you're leading the charge there. We need some brave Americans to take action. Especially some people in Georgia right now. So hopefully they're listening, and I'm sure they are because everybody listens to the War Room.
Well, and we're on a huge radio station down in Atlanta. Last question: given the disastrous run that Fannie Willis has had at this trial, and the judge says he's going to take a couple of weeks. I mean, if Carr and Kemp are not stepping in to defend Georgia from really being made buffoons on the Fannie Willis situation, just what they have on that. What gives you any inkling of hope that they will actually take this when Raffensperger's their guy? People always remember Kemp's the only job I think, or he's got a construction guy or a real estate guy or whatever, but the job he's had in politics was he for 8 years was Secretary of State before Raffensperger. What would lead you to believe that that Carr or Kemp, who should be the two people that should move on this thing immediately, would take any action given that they haven't done anything on Fannie Willis right now?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. They need to take some action. There needs to be pressure put on these officials. And you know, as far as Fannie Willis, this judge who's kind of waffling, 2 weeks to decide if she should be still in this case. I mean, we understood what the issue was about a few hours into the hearing. We knew that Fannie Willis, and what we heard within a day or two, she was committing perjury. She was lying about her relationship with this man that she hired to go after Trump. It shouldn't take this judge 2 weeks to decide what to do. The good news is he now has an opponent in the upcoming election. So maybe that a good conservative opponent. So maybe that will force him to do the right thing, which we know what that is. And that is to get Fannie thrown off this case, her and her lover, and maybe toss the whole case out.
Jim, where do people go to get Gateway Pundit, your social media, all of it? You guys are always on the tip of the spear here on so many breaking investigations. Where do people go?
Thank you, Steve. Yeah, that'd be thegatewaypundit.com. You can find us there. We're shadow banned and censored a lot, as you know. And you can also find us on Getter, on True Social, on X, and Telegram. It's the good ones.
Thank you very much, brother. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve.
Glenn Story and the team over at Patriot Mobile talk about alternative economy in Patriot Economy. The folks at Patriot Mobile, you get the same service you get from all the other mobile carriers because they layer on top of those mobile carriers. But this is a company that supports your values. You don't have to deal with the carriers themselves. You deal with Patriot Mobile and their marketing team and their marketing service. This is a Christian company that supports your values. Go to patriotmobile.com/Bannon. You get free connection if you do that, but you'll find out about all of their services and why this totally makes sense for you if you use a mobile phone and not a satellite phone. Go check it out today. This is Patriot Mobile. Glenn Story and this team, they were fantastic, and I got to tell you, their political action committee was magnificent down in the great state of Texas. The reason we get so many victories in Texas because of Glenn Story and this team. So support companies that support your values. Also, all the information we got coming out about cyber right now with state actors, non-state actors, it's time to get the Faraday bags for your iPad, your computer, your phones, all of it. Silent.com. That's SLNT.com/Bannon. Go there right now. You get big discounts if you use /Bannon. Check it out. Brother Czar, Aaron Czar, the fantastic team over there. These are state-of-the-art products. Make sure nobody can listen into your conversations. Make sure nobody can get to your phone when you're not using it. Make sure nobody can get to your iPad or your computer. Silent.com, SLNT.com. Go check it out today. Dr. Bradley Thayer joins us. Dr. Thayer, you're not taking on the CCP today, but you've got a brilliant piece. Raheem and I talked a little bit about this morning. Monumental events in Ireland over the weekend. Get us up to speed. Your article went up on warroom.org. It's absolutely incredible. Tell us what happened in Ireland.
Oh, hi, Steve. Great to be with you. In essence, what the Irish people said to their government was to drop dead. The Irish government was pushing amendments to the Irish 1937 Irish Constitution. That would have been fully in keeping with what NGOs wanted, what the European Union wanted, with respect to the issue of what's called a family referendum and the care referendum. Essentially, the family referendum related to the position of marriage, and the care referendum related to the issue of particularly the role of women in the family and in the home. And the Irish people resoundingly said that they rejected what the changes the government wanted. Overwhelmingly, they rejected by essentially votes of well in excess, about 68% and 74%. So resounding no's to the globalist agenda. So this can be seen as a mini Brexit, just as Brexit in the UK was a harbinger of greater events that were going to happen in 2016, Steve, in which you had a considerable role to play. So too, these referenda also can be seen as a major setback for the globalist agenda in Europe. And we need to recognize that Ireland only has a population of about 5.1 million people, Steve. So it's not a large country. And in that country, you had over a million people vote no in each of those referenda. We also need to understand that the country has been has received a tremendous number of immigrants from sent from the European Union and other and non-governmental organizations. So almost 20% of the Irish population now was born in another country. And of those approximately 20%, about 46% have arrived in the last 5 years. So Ireland has witnessed a tremendous destabilization as a result of immigration. And that sounds familiar, obviously, to this audience. And it's a problem which is found, of course, in Western Europe, Canada, and the United States. So this is the first time.
Somebody, just to put it in perspective, the I'm of Irish descent. The political class in Ireland has totally sold out. There's no MAGA. There's a beginning of a populist, but they got these hate speech laws. I mean, this is Brussels bitch, the political class in Ireland. They do whatever they're told by Brussels. They've sold out the country. They've sold out their freedom to do this. They take an unlimited amount of migrants. They flooded the zone, like say 20% of the population, half of that, 46% of that in the last 5 years. The importance of this referendum, you had, because they tried to change it from a constitutional country that was predominantly Roman Catholic to take that constitution and secularize it and radicalize it. They started with abortion a couple of years ago that had off the chart numbers. Then they had gay marriage, which also won big. Now they were trying to go to actually the definition of the family and the mom's role in Irish society. And they got blown up. And the reason that you picked it out when so many people missed it, this may not be Brexit in the long fight over Brexit, but this is Brexit adjacent. Your point is you're starting to see a sea change as we come up to the European parliamentary elections in June, where this is the first time, like the Irish people said, well, hang on for a second. You know, we got something to say about this. And they basically told the Brussels crowd, because this was all driven by Brussels and the European Union, Dr. Thayer.
Absolutely. And again, as with Brexit, Steve, in 2016, all of the major Irish political parties were behind this, as well as their media, as well as NGOs, as well as, you said, Brussels. So everybody had the thumb on the scale, basically, for yes votes. And the Irish people came back and said, drop dead. We're not doing this. And that's a very important symbolic as well as practical measure. As you said, as we're leading up to, obviously, elections for Strasbourg, for the European Parliament this year. But it also should be seen as in line with the results in Portugal, more broadly in Australia as well, where people are standing up to this agenda. And worldwide, people are doing that, but particularly in Europe, Canada. You remember, obviously, Steve, as you've covered the truckers' protests and in the U.S. As well. It shows how explosive immigration is, how that's used to destabilize societies that the elites could use in conjunction with Brussels and other actors to unhinge societies and force radical transformation of those societies, no matter what people want. And that, of course, recalls the 1953 Bertolt Brecht poem, Steve, you know it well, where in the wake of the uprising, June 1953 uprising by the East German people against the communist government in East Germany, Brecht said, wouldn't it be easier if the government just dissolved the people and elected another, right? Well, that's what Brussels has been doing, dissolving the people and electing new ones, bringing in new folks, new populations. And the Irish people again said, drop dead. We're not having it. It's not going to happen. And so the government should thank their lucky stars that they don't have an election until next year, right? They don't have to have one until March of 2025, because they would get hammered. And Sinn Féin came out, if you noticed, Steve, and said, hey, we're not having it, right? Even though we supported a yes vote, we're now backing away from that. Although the two big parties still are backing it, but there's no support for this. And of course, this this opens the opportunity for a new movement, either political reform of existing parties like Sinn Féin to take a more populist direction, or the rise of something like reform in the UK, in Ireland, that would offer, if you will,
populist nationalist party.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Thayer, where do people go to get more access to your writings?
At warroom.org, Steve, or at Getter at Bradley Thayer, or Truth at Bradley Thayer, or on X at Brad Thayer. Thank you, Steve. Thanks very much.
You and Cam Fennell, talk. Where to go to get the book? People got to get this book. It's the most definitive account of how we got off the straight and narrow here with the Chinese. Where do people go?
Embracing Communist China, America's Greatest Strategic Failure, that I co-wrote with Jim Fennell, is available wherever you buy books, Amazon.com or wherever you buy books. And Steve, thank you for writing the foreword to it. You contributed the foreword to that book, which has helped us enormously to frame the issue. So thanks very much.
Keep fighting, Dr. Thayer. Bunch of big announcements coming with Dr. Thayer. He's working on a bunch of projects for us. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. Okay, Lou Dobbs is going to follow us. Man, what a work day today we had here in the war room. That was 4 hours of intensity, wasn't it? Lou Dobbs is going to follow us here on Lindell TV. Of course, we'll be back at 10 a.m. tomorrow morning on Real America's Voice, our home network. It's going to be pretty intense. This is going to be a very, very wild week. Also, we're going to have Alex Jones is going to join us later in the week. I think it's going to be Wednesday. Alex Jones is going to join us. So we got a packed week this week. A bunch of big names coming on for interviews, but also tons of analysis. Go to birchgold.com/Bannon. Check it out. Talk about big names. You get Philip Patrick, and he'll actually talk to you. So go to birchgold.com. Philip Patrick or his team will walk you through why gold is a hedge in times of turbulence. And I guess what? It's a time of turbulence. Also, Warpath Coffee. Get jacked up on the coffee. You can't go wrong. Warpath.coffee/war room to get your big discount. And of course, my favorite, the grass-fed beef livers over at sacredhumanhealth.com. Just go immerse yourself in information. Lou Dobbs is next. See you tomorrow morning. Tax Network USA is pure war room for solving your IRS tax problems. If you owe back taxes, COVID was your lucky break. Tax court shut down, the IRS paused, and you skated. Well, baby, that party is over. The IRS is adding 20,000 enforcement agents, basically tax cops. Honest, hardworking Americans like you are in the crosshairs. Rich people have tax lawyers and you don't. You'll pay up plus interest and penalties. Tax USA Network has brilliant war room type strategies designed to solve your IRS problem quickly in your favor. Never call the IRS yourself. You're at their mercy. You could sit on hold for 6 to 8 hours and get hung up on, grind you for all your back taxes, plus interest and penalties. Tax Network USA attorneys have a preferred direct line to the IRS. They know which agents to talk to and who to avoid. If they get difficult agent, hey, they just call a different agent. Tax Network USA learned of a limited time special IRS offer. The IRS is willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. Find out if you qualify before it's too late. Schedule your free confidential consultation with Tax Network USA. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. Think about that. They've resolved over $1 billion in tax debts. They offer a best-in-class client satisfaction guarantee. Now call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000. And visit Tax Network USA. That's TNUSA.com/Bannon. TNUSA.com/Bannon. Make sure you take action on this today. This IRS grind is only going to get much worse.
.com, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Use the code WARROOM at checkout to save 67% of your first shipment. That's code War Room at checkout to save 67%. And do it again. War Room Health, all one word, warroomhealth.com. Go there today. You need, if you're going to be part of the posse, you need a strong heart. You need a lion's heart. How we're going to do that is with Salty. Go there. Do it today. Check it out.